One of the things is we're looking at today is the European Bank, part of the European Union, because those countries have foregone their currency sovereignty. It looks like the Eurobank is really on the hook for a huge amount of support back to Greece and other countries in the EU right now that are not supporting themselves. A lot of that money is going to come from us, it appears, to backfill what the EU is going to do. When you're president of the United States, how are you going to help the Department of Treasury and the Fed and other parts of our financial industry keep from bankrupting us in supporting people who can't seem to get their own houses in order?
Yeah, the idea of bailouts, particularly bailouts of foreign entities or foreign governments, is certainly antithetical to the sentiment of the people in this country. It's incumbent on us, I believe, to strengthen our own institutions here. We've seen manufacturing lose a lot of jobs. Our output is still good, but we got to help our own manufacturing sector here. The rural economy is something we have to be concerned about. We have to make sure that we don't find ourselves in the same kind of weakness in our food production as we are in our energy production. We've allowed energy to be hampered time and time again by government regulation that in some respects seems like it's intent on closing down energy production of gas or oil or coal. We certainly can't allow those kinds of attributes to be levied upon the rural economy. Right now, the rural economy is doing better than some other parts of our economy, but that will not always be the case if we have people who don't respect and admire the hardworking people of rural America.
Is it as simple as lowering the corporate tax rates to lure companies back who've left this country and gone to Mexico and other foreign countries, Governor?
It's not as simple as that, but that's certainly part of it. When you have the highest tax rates in the world for employers, why employers are going to tend to gravitate to other places. That's number one. But number two, we've got regulations which cost our economy even more than the income tax we charge. And regulation, of course, you have to have regulation to make an economy work, but you got to make sure the regulation is up to date, that it's modern, that it's streamlined, and that it's designed to encourage the private sector to grow. And then we have trade policies, in some respects, that keep us from being able to open up new markets. For a state like Iowa, which is a big export state, we need a president that's willing to go to work to open up new markets for American goods. And then, of course, you got to have energy policies that take advantage of our energy resources, and those include our biofuels, biodiesel, ethanol, and so forth. Got to have educational institutions that train workers and young people for the jobs of tomorrow. And, of course, you can't have a government that year in and year out spends more money than it takes in. All these things are necessary, Randy. If we're gonna have an economy that creates more jobs than other nations around the world, that is the best place in the world to be middle class, you've got to get America competitive again. And what's extraordinary is I watched the president campaigning across, I think, North Carolina today. I don't think he understands what it takes to get the economy going. He's out there with his new stimulus plan. His last stimulus didn't work. Why in the world does he think we'd pass a new one? And incidentally, the stimulus is gone. It's his own party that's taken it off the table. Even the Democrats recognize there is no prospect of his stimulus being enacted into law. This emperor has no clothes.
And you get around so much, obviously, around the country. Do you think that awareness is finally starting to kick in now of what the last 3 years have meant for this country?
Yeah, I think people recognize that while this president did not cause the recession, we're now 3 years into a serious downturn, and he has not made it better. He has made it worse. That his policies made it harder for business to reboot, to start hiring people, to get people back to work. And people back at work is what allows people to be paying taxes, to meet their needs, and to get an economy growing again. And 3 years in, we got 25 million people that are out of work or stopped looking for work. Or in part-time jobs that need full-time work. You got people sitting across the breakfast table with their calculator out and their checkbook saying, how can we make it till the next payday? You got folks applying for jobs knowing that across town there are hundreds of other people applying for the same job. Look, this isn't the America that we've grown up to expect. You got kids coming out of college, you know, at Morningside. You got kids coming out of Morningside saying, gee, I thought I was going to get a great job when I graduated. I can't find anything. This is tough times, and this president just doesn't know what it takes to solve this economic downturn.
Do you know who's trimming your heads this morning?
Don't have one.
Well, don't have one.
Well, one of the things that is very important to our listeners out here, and of course we have a bit of a tradition with judges out here, is when you're president of the United States, you'll probably get the opportunity to nominate at least two justices over a four-year period, maybe as many as four over the 8 years that you might be in office. What is your construct of a Supreme Court justice?
Well, you want someone who's brilliant, of course. You want someone who's convincing, because you want them to be able to convince the other justices that their position is right. And perhaps most importantly, you want a justice who believes that their job is to apply the law and apply the Constitution, as opposed to expand upon it and change it. And what we have really are two jurisprudence philosophies in America. One is that the Constitution is a starting point and the justices should just go on and take it any direction they want. The other is the Constitution is the starting and ending point, where you have the Constitution, you follow it, and if as a justice you feel there's something wrong or that needs to be changed in society, well, you can mention that to the legislators or the president, because they're the ones responsible for writing new laws. And if, by the way, the Constitution needs to be changed, then let the people take up that issue through the amendment process. But the idea that justices, unelected, lifetime service, can change the Constitution and write in new, if you will, new pieces of the Constitution is simply something which is antithetical, I think, to the right course for the nation.
Governor Mitt Romney, our guest this morning, just minutes before going out to Morningside College, and Sam will introduce the governor again.
I will, yes.
That's quite an honor.
Yes, it is.
You think your message with respect to your health care position, predicated on your experience and service as governor of Massachusetts, is connecting now finally? Or is there still a gap there?
Oh, I think I have a lot of opportunity to talk to people about health care. Make it real clear. If I'm elected president, Obamacare is over. I will repeal it. Actually, on day one, to speed up the repeal process, I'll put in place a waiver from Obamacare to all 50 states. So I want to stop Obamacare for a lot of reasons. One, I think it's massively expensive, $1 trillion of additional spending we simply can't afford. But number two, it cuts Medicare. It cuts Medicare by $500 billion. Look, the Democrats have always wanted to protect Medicare. Look at this president's done. He's cut Medicare. Not for the purpose of balancing the budget. No, for the purpose of funding his new massive entitlement expansion known as Obamacare. So I will stop this in its tracks, and then we will do what we've done in the past, which is we'll return to states the responsibility for caring for their own poor and their own uninsured. We dealt with that in a way we thought worked in our state of Massachusetts. What we did in Massachusetts will not work in Minnesota or Michigan or Montana, because different states have different structures of their health care system. They have different numbers of people that are uninsured. I like what we did for us, but I sure as heck would not apply it to the entire nation like President Obama did.
Sam?
Oh, one of the things along that line, it looks like you may not get the chance. It looks like Obamacare is unraveling as we speak and may be cast out by the Supreme Court very quickly. But one of the issues that I think we wanted to address here is this notion of asking for reform, and this is to go to Speaker Boehner and Leader McConnell when we get a majority in the Senate, and ask them to go in and take tort reform to the point that we need it, and to allow interstate competition for insurance. Is that part of your agenda with health care reform in this country?
Absolutely, and you have to ask yourself, how in the world could the president preside over a 2,000-page bill and not deal with issues like malpractice, tort reform in this country? Yeah. Why did he not encourage the gathering together of various industries and businesses to form associations to buy health care? Why did he not recognize that individuals should be able to buy health care on the same tax advantage basis that corporations can buy health care? Look, there are just so many gaps in this piece of legislation. We ought to toss it out and start over again and focus on those things that will bring down the cost of health care, at the same time letting individuals have the same kind of deal that businesses have in terms of tax status, and then return to states the responsibility and rights that they have under our Constitution.
Your message today at Morningside, Governor?
Well, I'll be talking about what it takes to get the economy going again. But, you know, the fun thing about going to one of these kind of town hall meetings is that I'll get a lot of questions from students and others in the audience, and I'll be taking any direction they want to go in. But right now my message is that this president is out campaigning for a jobs bill, for a stimulus bill that's gone nowhere, that's disappeared. It's gone. It's disappeared. It's invisible. And the president needs to get back to Washington and become a leader and work with Republicans and Democrats to finally put in place a jobs bill that'll get America working again.
Governor Romney, it's been an honor to have you in and start your day here at our little humble radio station. And again, thanks for your time and good luck.
Thanks, Randy. Good to be with you. Sam, good to see you as well.
Yes, sir. And we'll see you in a little bit.
Governor Mitt Romney, our guest, now at 825 on KSEJ.